you, Jesus. How'd you sound guys figure that out? I'm like reusing the one mic and I got my other mic still on. Like, good job, guys. So the children can now go to, oh, thanks, brother. The children can now be released to Sunday school. So appreciated last week. Who was here last week for the, oh, yeah, go up top. For the moving up part of Sunday school. Is anybody here for that? I told Pastor Chris after the service that I thought that was one of the most significant services we've had here in the last several years. Not yet. That's at the end. The Lord sees our children as precious and we need to also recognize that they are precious treasures. They are our future. They are the ones who will carry the message when we are no longer on this earth to do it. And it's just powerful to realize that we have a staff that serves sacrificially, each and every week. There's a rotation, so not everyone's on every single week, but I just can never say enough about how much we appreciate our Sunday school staff that are equipping our children, that are teaching them, pouring into them, teaching them worship, teaching them about the realities of our faith at a young age. As Pastor Chris said last week, early. It's good to be early. The enemy understands being early and trying to get to them and pollute their minds when they're very young. And it's so important that as believers and people of faith that we are even more intentional making sure that these children are raised up with the truth as a foundation so that they're not just swayed when they begin to hear other lies and philosophies of this earth that are so powerful to easily take them off on a wrong path. And so we're just so grateful for the staff that serves each and every week for Bob and Esther, who, if you didn't catch last week's message, you really need to go back, especially if you have youth, you need to make sure you listen to what they had to say. I'm just so grateful that we know that our children and our young adults are being stewarded in a God-honoring way, according to what the Scripture says, not according to what's popular or what is fun or maybe acceptable by our culture, but to go with what the Word of God says and to build their lives upon that. It's so powerful. It's so critical. And I just wanted to, again, acknowledge that. I sat there and was going to jump in and say a few words at a couple different points. I just had nothing to say. I was just so overwhelmed with the gravity of that service that we are watching our children move up into all that God has for them. And it's going to be all of us to chip in. Everyone serves in a different way. Some people, it's, you know, you can afford to fund things that allows the children to have programs and properties to play on and things like that. And it's everyone playing a part. Maybe not everyone is qualified or has what it takes to serve in Sunday school ministry on Sunday morning, but you can be a part. You can pray for them. You can recognize the value of them and just be an encouragement. We have young families in this church. We have some parents that are kind of doing it on their own. They could use the extra support of an older brother or sister in the Lord just being there, asking a parent, is there anything I can do during the week to help you with the kids? Is there anything that you need? This is what families do. This is maybe not what you do with a stranger, but in the family of God, we have to be willing as we grow to recognize it's okay to ask people if they need help. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, is to ask for help, and it's easier if someone asks you and then all of a sudden you realize, well, I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah, I could actually use this or use that. So just want to encourage you. Our children are our future. We will always be a family church. We almost named this church King's Family Church, but then there was a church in India that beat us to it, a church that we had helped to get started over there. But King's Fire Church, I think after the prophecy this morning, suits us just fine. That if we're on fire for the Lord and His fire is burning within us, that's the light that the world can come to and to see the truth and to experience a love that they haven't experienced yet. And so we just want to continue to be mindful of what we stand upon, that we stand upon the Word. I know I've been preaching about the Word a lot lately, and I don't know that there's another message I'll ever preach, because it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if we're going to talk about God, we got to talk about the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, right? It's the Word, it's the Logos, it's the Rhema, it's the essence of how God works through the veil of this bubble called the reality we know and the realms and dimensions that are beyond us. You know, mathematically, we know of at least 10 dimensions. We only experience 3 here, and 4 if you include time as a dimension. We know that there are at least 6 more, and they're arguing over maybe there's an 11th one. And we know there's demons and angels and spirits. So that's at least one dimension that the Bible talks to us about. And for those beings, they're experiencing multiple dimensions within their reality, other than just the bubble that we're in. And we've got to keep these things in mind, that we're not just an island to ourselves, that we are a part of what the Bible calls a great cloud of witnesses, is also engaged from other dimensions looking into what happens on this earth. This is a big deal. If you became a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, and you accepted the Word of God as something to build your life on and receive salvation through, then you've got to then further commit to the ongoing process of letting the Word sanctify your life. Letting the Word become what you base your decisions and your plans upon, not what's popular, not what's the next great book that's being written by someone who's maybe very reputable and good with words, but nothing compares to the book. He says that His Word will never pass away, that the world will pass away, the earth will pass, but the Word of God remains forever. He will always have the ability to speak, and stuff that did not have substance suddenly has substance. The things that are made from things which are not seen. We see things around us every day, but they were made from not nothingness, but they were made from things that were previously unseen to this reality. We get so bogged down sometimes in this life because we get distracted and think this is the main event. This is not the main event. Eternity, eternal life, life beyond this one is the main event. That's the whole point of this one. This life has no point or purpose if there's not an eternal life that exists just beyond this veil called death that we still have here. And it's a safety mechanism. It keeps the holy from the profane and allows for us to exist here. But yet by faith, we tap into something in the Spirit that allows us to share His glory now. We sang about His glory so much this morning, and this is all just coming with what's in my heart. But you know, the glory of God will consume anything that's not pure. Anything that's not holy and sanctified is consumed in the presence and the glory of the Lord. When Moses got to be in the proximity of the glory, he had to hide his face. And even then, the Lord caused the back of him to pass in front of Moses. And even that event caused Moses days later to come down off the mountain, and he was still just radiating and glowing. The people were scared of him. He had to put a towel over his face so that they weren't freaked out by this new Moses who now just glowed in the dark. This is the reality of what the Bible teaches, and if it's just a fantasy or if it's become just another Disney type of a book or something that's just fantastic but it's not real, then you miss the beauty and the excitement that's in this journey of faith that we're called to walk. It's never supposed to be boring. It's not supposed to be mundane. It's not just about this life. It's about what's coming next and what we get to experience now from the next one as we, by faith, pull from the dimensions just beyond the ones that we've been given to live in. And it's just powerful. But we sang a song last week, and as the children were picking the song list, and one of the songs kept talking about 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. Worthy, Lord of all, his faithfulness. And there's a couple spots in Scripture where this appears, and the one I'm going to read is in Psalm 105:8. It says, He, God, remembers His covenant forever. The reason God words are powerful is because God doesn't just say, oh, well, I said that once, but I don't really mean that anymore. That's outdated. God's word never gets outdated. Our words do. Stuff that we told, our first children, so certain things that we had in place for them. Now our children, after several later, we're realizing, well, we've changed a few things. And then so our word that we said was just, you couldn't go beyond what we said then, has now been adapted. And the older ones look back at the young ones like, Mom, Dad, like, you're letting them get away with that? Like, they're just blown away because in their minds, that was once the law. But now as you've aged and matured as a parent, you realize, well, maybe our priorities were a little askew. Maybe we're being too... whatever it was, whatever the situation is, that's human words. They always change. Think of any set of, and no matter how generic the wedding vows are, if you actually, for better or for worse, for sickness and in health, to death do us part, you read these words and you realize, wow, once upon a time, human beings spoke them to one another and they really meant them. But then a few years and some hardship comes through and all of a sudden it's like those words didn't mean anything more. Those are human words. Those are earth words. I'm not talking about those. When God gives His word, it's the word forever. Amen. It doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. His words don't change. And it says He remembers His covenant forever. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. Don't you want to build your life and your reality and your priority set around something that's true, not just now, but forever? 1,000 generations is a great song to sing, but I can tell you, we have a job and we got our hands full now just stewarding and managing one generation, all right? It's great that God sees the thousand generations, but as we listened to the messages that were shared after we worshiped with the children last week, I thought, we've got to make sure we don't lose sight of the generation we've been given. It's great to sing about the Lord's faithfulness to a thousand, but we have been given stewardship of one, or two if we count ourselves, or three. Stretch your faith. Go for four. If you want to go, you know, nursing home to cradle, then you know maybe you can count four generations in there that you can have influence in, but either way, it's not a thousand. But we've been given people to influence, to shine in front of, to be glory, to bring the glory of the Lord into their lives. It's an incredible reality. I can't go to each scripture because it just was coming to me in worship that the Bible reveals that God will share his glory with no other. But then it also reveals in Revelation that he's coming back for a glorious bride, the church. And so there's one entity on earth that he does share his glory with, and it's his bride. It's his, what I call my wife, my better half. It's what he looks at his bride. He doesn't say, oh, well, I'm all that, and she's just something less, but I'll make up for her. No, he is madly in love with his bride. He sees her, the glorious bride, the glorious church, the one that's been purified by that fire. There's no spot or wrinkle. I'm not saying I've arrived or probably anyone here has fully arrived. I'm saying in his heart, through his mercy and grace, his heart burns for that entity, and it's called the church. It's called fellow believers who are willing to stand up and to confess his name and to shine with his glory that he's given us. Remember, it's Christ in us, our hope of glory. The only hope of having anything to show to the world is Christ within us. You can't generate a holy glow from anything other than Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if this has become mundane, you've got to find some way to stretch your faith. You've got to find someone that you're intimidated by and walk up to them and just say something from the Lord to them. Maybe you don't have a prophetic gift. Just, can I help you with anything? You look burdened. Is there anything I can do to help besides just say, I hope you have a great rest of your day? Begin to break out and realize within you is Christ that desires to no one would perish, but he wants to shine this glory through his bride to this world. He's not going to give it to them. He's going to give it to his bride, the church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against her. It's on us. It's on us to train our children. It's on us to be that example. And I just feel so challenged as we keep hearing that the time is short, the time is short, that the Lord is going to do a work with fire that he couldn't do other ways. I don't know if you've watched a lot of things burn, but once the fire gets going, a fire does a quick work. I love fire. I'm a pyromaniac. Ask anyone that's come camping with me if there's anything left at a fire pit when we're done. I didn't do a good job. Hopefully they can edit that. I'm going to be getting some of the state parks in the state are going to be leaving me voicemails about what happened to their fire pit. If you're going to have a fire, have a fire. People think rocks can't burn. You just haven't had a big enough fire yet. You think steel doesn't turn white and sparkle and disappear. It does. You just have enough fire. But fire does a quick work. It does in a few moments what just natural time would take many, many years to do. It can transform something right into the very elements that it's made from. And it gives off a beautiful light and heat. And that's what he's called us to be, folks. And I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed when our children worship. I just took a few notes from it. I wanted to just share. We have communion at the end, so I'm going to share a short word. But I hope you're already encouraged from worship. If you didn't tap into all that was available for you in worship, man, my heart goes out to you. Because there was just so much there. I got so charged up just in the sense of his glory and that he desires to just consume and do a work within us that we can't do ourselves. So often we hear, like the word came, about the fire that's going to come and do what it has to do. And we think, oh, so then I got to, and we make ourselves a little list. Well, I guess I need to spend more time. I need to read more. We make ourselves like a list of things we need to do. And those things are good and important. Don't neglect them. But the word wasn't talking about that. It was the Lord saying, time is short. I've got to do a work now and I have to do it with fire. Don't be afraid. Have joy. But the fire is what transforms us. That's why Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, I'm just baptizing you in water, but the one that comes behind me is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is not comfortable. It's not, unless it's really cold outside, but you know what I'm saying? The fire, when it's consuming, it's happening in your life, and you can say, I just feel like I'm in the fire, like the three wise Hebrew men were under Nebuchadnezzar, and you realize there's nothing about that that's fun when you stand and everybody else bows down in worship to this fake God that he had created. And yet for many of us, that will be our reality. We will be seen as those crazy wild, delusional people that think that there's still some God worth standing for, and they're the reasons why this world is broken the way that it is. And it's really easy to justify taking care of those people as we watch through history has happened time and time again. But I want to encourage you, it's the fire within you that sustains you when the rest of the world seems to have no place for you. The Lord always has a place to work on the inside of you. And so I was just so blessed as we were here with the children, hearing them sing our songs. I'm so blessed by Chris and Carrie that they're not giving them some, you know, kitty little clappy happy Father Abraham. I used to love those songs. I mean, who knows Father Abraham? Amen. He's, you know, they were fun. They were good. They were just kept the kids burning some candles. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you short. Somebody was really going to go for it. Somebody was ready to sing. It's been a while since you sang that one, probably. Sorry to disappoint you. They're fun to burn some calories, get some snacks, and read a scripture verse and go home. But they're pouring so much in as they prayed over those children. You sense the anointing that's upon them, Chris and Carrie, to deposit into our children the spiritual realness that it's going to take for them to go forward. And I was just fixing my son a bowl of cereal, and this is kind of a funny story, but it kind of relates if you have an imagination, which I think I do. Most of my illustrations, you kind of have to use your imagination to make the connection to the point. But I'm making him some cereal, and he's like, oh. I'm like, well, what's the matter? It's like, Cheerios. He's like, mm-mm. So I'm like, well, what's the problem? We'll put some extra honey on it. I'm trying to, like, still pretend like they're Cheerios. Because we do buy Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios especially. And it's like, to go from Honey Nut Cheerios down to Cheerios is already a big step down. So we put a little honey on those, but these, you got to put a little extra on because they're not actually Cheerios. They come through our food pantry once in a while when they have extra cases, and one will fall off the truck and I'll pick it up. And much to my children's chagrin, because they're not Cheerios, they're Tastios. They're Tastios. And just because they're round and they're made from oats, they're not Cheerios. They're Tastios. And I've just made an observation in life: if you have to put tasty in the name of whatever the food is as a branding, if you have to brand your food and tasty is a part of the, unless you can think of something that's an exception. Can anybody think of something with tasty in the name that's really good? Tasty cakes? They're good? I've never had them. I'll have to try those. As soon as you say tasty O's, you know that it's you know, it's just, yeah, it's gonna be a stretch. They're round, they're made from oats, they probably got some of the same ingredients, but they're different. I tried them, they're kind of like sawdust just pressed together, and it takes about equal parts honey and milk to make it good. But I just love that we believe here that God has trusted us with the real Holy Spirit, that we don't have a beta version, a dumbed-down version that won't get us hurt, but He has given us Himself. If you believe, and if you've received, and you receive Holy Spirit, and you pray to your Heavenly Father, you're not praying to one that's less than the one that anyone else, any of the great men of faith prayed to. It's the same Jesus, it's the same Holy Spirit. He doesn't have some image of that. It's not just a form of something with a certain shape that looks similar to God that we pray to. It's God the Creator. It's the real one. And I just love when our children get that revelation that they don't have some diluted down God that they clap and sing to that's just about silly old songs and just whatever, falling down and getting up. And that's all fine. I'm not knocking that stuff. But beyond that, there's an essence that you can sense in their worship that they're connecting with the one who put them here for a purpose. And that can keep them. That can keep me and it can keep you. The reality that every breath that we take, every movement that we make, there is a Heavenly Father and He's with us by the Spirit. It's powerful. It's a powerful reality. And so I'll keep moving on here and try not to go back to talking about cereal. But before we pass this over to Pastor Rich to just share with us in the sacrament of communion, I feel like these are two of the scriptures that the Lord would like me to share this morning, and I've got endless ones to choose from because through the week I'm just making notes and stuff. I feel like the whole, when you go to the scriptures just looking for things maybe you didn't see before, every time you see something new, you jot it down and you think, oh, that I could preach a sermon on that and a sermon on that, and I've got all these ideas and things to talk about. But as we think about communion, we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made. And it's hard to really think about it unless maybe you've seen a movie like The Passion of the Christ, where it really forces you in real time to look at some of the extreme things that happened to Jesus. And it's overwhelming. It's like, I remember having to close my eyes certain times. There are certain times where you just can't handle the reality of what happened to our Savior. And you think, how brutal, how just evil and the unnecessary things that were done, the scorn, the ridicule, the plucking of his beard, the crown of thorns, all these things were additional and above and beyond. They're not things that were necessary for Jesus to suffer for us to be saved. All that required was for an innocent to be hung on a tree so he could become a curse for us, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, a sinless sacrifice. That would have been enough, and we would have been saved. We would have received the full promise of eternal life through that act. The rest of it was just barbarism from evil forces acting through humanity, just torturing and destroying this man, this human being who had the Spirit of God fully residing on the inside of him, just like we do. And the reality of the gruesomeness of that, and you begin to think, it's just your brain can't process how that could possibly be necessary. And what I felt the Lord encourage me just a few weeks ago, and I'll just mention it this morning, is many times it's because we don't understand the condition that we were in before Christ, from a dimension outside of the one that we're given, from an eternal dimension that understood that those born under this curse were eternally separated from God. That there was no hope back in, there was no back door they could be good enough to get back in. They were permanently born of Adam, they were permanently separated from any future that included being with God forever. Completely and totally separated. We were bound for the same destination that the devil and his demons and his angels that left with him were destined for. The pit of hell, the lake of fire. That was where we were going, because we had served him. We were born under those born from Adam. And he committed through treason, and he committed treason, and through that act allowed all of his offspring, clearly represented in Genesis, to be born under that, to be separated from the Lord. And for many of us, we come to Christ, oh, the music's good, I could use a boost in my life, I feel good here, and we say a prayer, or we begin to believe, and this book makes sense, we start to read, but we don't actually embrace the gravity of why it needed to be so extreme, why Jesus, why an innocent person had to give up his life so that I could be redeemed and have an opportunity to enter back into fellowship with the Heavenly Father. If you just gloss over it, it's easy to gloss over. But if you really dig into it and you realize, I was more lost than I probably thought I was. We were more without hope. When the Bible says we were his enemies, we were without hope except for Jesus. We can read that and it's just a verse. But when that reality hits you and you realize, if he hadn't come for me, if he didn't leave 99 and come for me, I was completely and utterly and permanently separated and lost and destined for what we were destined for. Jesus fully understood it. That's why he talked about hell way more than he talked about heaven, because he wanted people to understand that what he was about to do, the sacrifice of his body for them, was not just some act of kindness and love, and I just want you to have a better life. It was so that we would be rescued from the destruction that we were already bound for. We were already 1 foot into it. We were already just a life emergency away from going into that direction. And Jesus came and we heard the gospel about the goodness of a Savior that laid his life down for us. And suddenly we were brought from darkness into light. Through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by grace we're saved through faith. Not of ourselves, not of our works, lest anyone would boast. Because we would. It was his work on the cross, completed. It's finished. He did it for us. He knew what we were facing. Many in the church, I don't think, myself in certain parts of my life, didn't fully understand. Why did it have to be so gruesome? Why did he have to be treated that way? So unjustly, so unfairly. He didn't even defend himself to say, hey guys, you're killing an innocent person. He let them do it in all their delusion, because he was accomplishing something in the rescue of our souls and our lives. That's why it's easy to lay down our life as a living sacrifice, because he did it for us first. And when we see that, it's easy to say, well, who else am I going to give my life to? You obviously, you gave yours for me. Naturally, I'm going to give mine for you. But it's hard to go there. There's so much. I'm watching some of the most wealthy people that are just flying up through social media. They're self-help gurus. They're people that teach you how to use your mind and use your positivity and use your ideas. And it all has a natural benefit to people's lives. And they look to them almost as a spiritual leader. But it's not a spiritual thing that they're offering. They're just offering soul realm solutions. And we don't realize that nothing in the soul realm, in the natural realm, was ever going to resolve the sin issue, the original sin born under the curse of sin of Adam that we all had. All of us the same. I don't know if you've ever, I'm a guy that likes to fix things. Don't try to fix things in marriage sometimes. I was just trying to skip over that. Sometimes women don't want you to try to fix everything, right, honey? They just want you to listen. Anybody learn that yet? Any men learn that? Sometimes they just want you to listen. But I want to quickly fix things, you know, right? I heard her first three sentences. I know what the answer is. And then I want to just move on with, just walk out the solution, honey. I already gave it to you for free. No problem. We only need 30 seconds and we're good to go. And that's, it took me several years to learn that that wasn't supposed to be what I did. But as men, aren't we mostly fixers? And I think any time, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, and when something's broken, you want to get it fixed. The problem with the way that we were born into original sin is that there was no way we could fix ourselves. You can't fix problems with problematic tools. I don't know if you've ever taken on a job or you just go out, you just want to do something in a hurry, whether it's working on something, you know, in construction or something with your car, and you know, you go to use a tool and it needs to be fixed. And you go to fix that, you know, it's like there's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. With what shall I fix it? Yeah, I knew somebody was going to start singing. I was just waiting to see who it would be. And you sing 10 layers into the song and you're back at the beginning. But there's a hole in my bucket. You know, it's kind of the way that we found ourselves. We needed someone from the outside. We needed a voice, a prophetic voice from beyond the veil to speak through the veil into our reality and for us to hear that beyond this, there is hope. There is an essence beyond this. And I just want to read, as I get ready to turn this over to Pastor Rich, I want to read this passage in Hebrews. Well, two passages in Hebrews. Who made these notes? All right, you can't always trust what I say. So it's Hebrews chapter 9. They changed it already. Hebrews chapter 9. You were already almost there. Just go three more chapters. At least I didn't change books on you. I don't think we realize sometimes how stuck we were. I'm just feeling silly this morning, so I guess I'll tell you another story. Our car broke down about 2 miles down the road, so I'm like, all right, it's going to be a fun morning. We're just going to keep it light, because if I take this too intensely. But I'm very thankful. We drove about 200 miles yesterday on the highway doing 70, mind your own business, an hour. And we're fine. My wife's driving 2 miles from our house to the church, pulling off the exit off 209, and the drive shaft falls out on the ground. Just the front end, not the back end. So you know what happens if you're doing 60 miles forward on the highway. What a mess. And so falls out at a stoplight right over here. A bunch of you drove by and stopped to say, is everything okay? And got phone calls. I'm so glad everybody knows our white falling apart Suburban parked along the side of the road. But, goes to go forward. It just wouldn't go. Just as she was like 2 miles an hour, just heard a clink under the car, rolled back. The hill's nice and perfect. Didn't have to get out and push, although she could have pushed it. She's strong. She handles me, right? So she rolls backwards on the side there, did a perfect little park job, because I had no power. The drive shaft's on the ground. Just bizarre things that, I don't know. Why did it happen not in the previous 200 miles at the highway speed, but it just happens at a stoplight. It's just bizarre. These things just always intrigue me, so I'll just share that with you. It's not about the fact that we have to get towed and have no idea how we're getting back to the rest of our kids that are still in New Jersey, but we'll figure that out. At least we're, So I'm just making light of this morning, but I don't know. Does everybody know that supplements are good? Vitamins are good. It's good to take those things. Do you ever struggle to remember taking them? Okay. Guilty, right? So I got a brilliant idea. I'm going to see some stuff on online, so everybody knows that's where you go to find out how to get your memory strengthened, right? You go online. So I got some supplements and some vitamins to help with my memory. Some of you still didn't get that. I think I've taken them probably, I've had them in the cabinet for probably 2 months now. I think I've taken them 5 or 6 times. About once a week. I gotta take that memory booster. Makes your brain, you know, just everything that it's supposed to be, so that I can then remember to take my vitamins. But it's kind of like that, folks. We needed help. Maybe some of you just text me every. No, don't everybody do that. But I took them. But Hebrews chapter 9. We needed help, folks. But Jesus Christ came as our high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Again, dimensions and realms that are very much more real than ours. We just don't have access to them the same way that we do here. By faith, we do. I get that. Not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. How much of our prayer life is based around temporary issues and redemption? We need help for this. And yet God has something completely so much bigger and beyond it, just a couple dimensions away that it's easy for us to miss it. Having obtained an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, talking about the people, the unclean sinful people, sanctifies for the purifying of their flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I just hope I can encourage somebody this morning. Whatever it is that you think you just have to try a little harder to get through, ask yourself prayerfully in the presence of the Lord, is it really just persistence and stamina? And is that what it is? Is it just you exercising your faith? And if it is, continue to do it. Or is it just you in the natural thinking that if I just try this or change this or do this, then I'm going to get into this place that I need to be with the Lord? Because that's a lie. You can't get there. It was done by Jesus once for all. Through the eternal Spirit, offered himself to God. He offers to cleanse our conscience from dead works so we can truly serve the living God. And for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator is alive. Jesus needed to die so that what he was owed as an inheritance could be legally transferred to us as sinful, born of Adam, humanity. I hope you understand that this was accomplished in a courtroom, in a dimension. In a similar way, it is kind of, sorry, Jay, I know you're not doing Marvel, and that's great, but it's so similar. Many people will know this illustration. There's other dimensions where there are high courts and low courts, and things are decided that then have to be implemented in realms beyond. There's so much in the way that it works spiritually that you can maybe understand this was accomplished in a realm that is so superior to ours that Jesus was willing to just be brutalized here and live a meager life for 30 years just so that he could go there and accomplish for us the provision that allows eternal inheritance. You know how many families get split up just because of an inheritance in the natural? And they're all clawing over. You've probably experienced it maybe to some degree. Or you're... Imagine the true value, the reality of what's actually important for eternity is actually an inheritance that was left for us. And is anybody really trying to discover what it is and trying to... I know some are. I so appreciate the classes in the morning. Your Pastor Cordova is doing a beautiful job of just training up some folks about what it is they have access to legally because of what Jesus has done. They don't have to fight for it or can some of the stuff, it's a pressing in to get it, but it's already been provided legally. It's yours. It's ours. We can walk in the glory that we didn't earn ourselves. That's just through the dead works of our flesh. How much more this eternal provision that's been made for us. Now Hebrews 6, and we'll pass to Rich. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 to 20 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence beyond or behind the veil." It's clearly speaking about the veil of death. What separates us from the realms beyond this one is death. When this... You read any after-death experience, you realize, oh, there's a complete reality there. It's just when we're breathing and our heart's going and our soul is and spirit is within this earth suit, we're here. When this thing stops, we're there. And in that place, it says that Jesus, I'm getting ahead of myself, which enter the hope that we have is an anchor of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, this part of us that gets uncertain and anxious about things. There's a possibility for us to be anchored behind the veil of death where the forerunner has entered for us. Jesus went beyond death. And he entered into a place that no human had ever entered into before. And he entered it as a sinless human being. Without spot or the perfect lamb entered into this place. And it says that he went there as a forerunner for us. When someone runs ahead, that means, and they're a forerunner, that means there's people running behind them. There's no such thing as a forerunner if there's not people running behind the person that's the forerunner. They would just be the runner. A forerunner is someone who goes before the rest. He went there, but this is the crazy thing. The hope that we have that anchors our soul, even beyond death, is the fact that the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become the high priest forever. According to the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ continuously is operating in a role that back in the old covenant, a high priest did only once a year, and he had a rope tied to him too, just in case they needed to pull him out dead. Jesus is not going to pass over, and he's not going to collapse in the anointing and the glory of heaven because he was truly sinless and spotless. He was the perfect sacrifice, and he sits down at the right hand of the Father, and they're still connected to him, that hope that he offers to us. When you pull on the hope of Christ, you don't just feel a dead high priest at the other end of it until you pull him out from the grave. He's fully alive, and yet he's beyond the grave. Folks, the hope that we have is not just wishful thinking. It's not just for a better life. It's for eternal life. When we celebrate communion this morning and we partake of the elements, understanding the body and the blood of Jesus that was given for us, it was because he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood that I'm making with you. No longer bulls and calves and everything else. And no longer done in an earthly temple, but executed in the tabernacle that was not made with hands. The one in the heavens where Christ now serves as our high priest, interceding for us." A whole other message to that one, right, Rich? Boy, that's a whole other message, Pastor Cordo. Brother, come on up here. And hopefully you got your containers, your juice and bread.